פרשת שבוע, פרשת ויצא. ויצא יעקב מבאר שבע מלך הרן. Yeah, Yaakov and he left Be'er Sheva in the order of his parents. And he went towards Haran to look for a wife, Be'ezrat Hashem. He found a couple, a few. Hashem. The Medrash brings down that it wasn't so simple the way. You know, he went, when you go to Lavan, you go for... get married, you need to bring some money with you. You can't go like that. So that's what he did. He brought money with him. And we got the story from two weeks ago from Eliezer, which was looking for a wife for Yitzchak. So he brought with him 10 camels and a letter that says that all the belongings of Avram he's giving to Yitzchak to show them that they have money, so they will be willing to give their daughter her wife. So also here, he gave him a lot of money. He just gave him Yaakov money. So he'd go and get married. But on the way, Lavan, he met Lavan's son, Eliphaz. Yes. Esav's son, Eliphaz, Esav's son, Eliphaz, he went, he was doing a mitzvah. It's called mitzvah kibud av, a mitzvah of honoring his father's word. His father told him, go to Uncle Yaakov. Give me his head. I want to see his head. I want to kill him.
Yeah, go kill him.
So he came to he meets Yaakov right before the Jordan, crosses the Jordan. And he tells him, I'm sorry. Sorry, Uncle Yaakov, but this is your last minutes in this world. He said, but what do you do? You grew up by me, together we grew up, and I taught you Torah. You learned Torah by Yitzhak and by Yaakov. You learned Torah, how can you kill me? So what can I do? It says in the Torah, Kabed et avicha ve et imecha. I must do what my father says. I guess he knew only part of the Torah. The Torah also says that if your father and mother tell you to do the things against the Torah, so you don't have to do it. So he tells him, listen, you're right, okay, fine, you have to kill me. But we know Chazal teach us that Ani Chashuv Kemes, someone who's poor, considered a dead man. Chashuv Kemes. So take all my money, leave me just with my staff so I can walk. And I consider it poor, and then he could, then it's considered, tell your father, yes, he's dead, I know he's dead. Don't tell him I killed him. Say he's dead. Okay. So he gave him really all his property, all his belongings, whatever he had, all his belongings, his money, his gold, whatever he carried with him to get married. And that's what it says in the pasuk: "Kiv makli avalti de'alim azeh." With my staff, I crossed the river. Only with the staff? Yes. Only with the staff. That's all he had. His name is his staff. And then he reaches Lavan's house. He meets Racha, everyone knows, and by the well. He helps them to roll open the big stone. Racha says, like a cap of a bottle. Something which they need a few people to lift. He was able to lift like that. And then he meets Racha, and then he goes to Lavan. Lavan says, you have to work for me, you have to work. How could I feed you? You have to work. Okay, fine. But what should I pay you? I want to marry Racha. Fine. 7 years. So he worked for 7 years, and then everyone knows he switched Rachel with Leah, he gave him Leah instead. A week later, he also married Rachel, but he had to work another 7 years for her also again. He worked 14 years only for Rachel, really. And then he had married also the. So what are they called?
The maidservants,
right? And he had 12 children. 11. 11 children. And then it was time to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and Lavan ran after him, old story. Then he meets Esav. On the way, he meets Esav, and Esav tries to bite his neck off. And then there was a miracle, you know, that his neck became stiff like marble. Rashi says, Shaish. Marble or Shaish?
Mm-hmm.
And Esav lost some teeth over there. And then.
You knew Russia.
Then, Baruch Hashem, he didn't kill him. and you go back to Eretz Yisrael. Fine. That's the story of the parsha. You know, Yaakov Avinu had no questions. Kadosh Baruch Hu promised him on the way. There's a story with the Sulam Yaakov, with the ladder of Yaakov. He was sleeping right with Har Moriah. He dreamt that he saw a big ladder from the earth to the heavens. There were angels going up and down. And Hashem promised him in that dream, "I will be with you, and I will guard you wherever you go." A day later, Eliphaz comes around. He takes all his money. "Come on, God, you're joking with me? You say you're going to protect me. You're going to take me to protect me if you want to do this shit." What is it? Took all his money. He's protecting, then I go there, and he has to work. And also, it says there, "Chlafta maskolti aser zmonim," changed my
wages.
Wages, it's called. How much are you going to pay me?
Back.
100 times, Rambam says. Aser zmonim is 10 times 10. 100 times. He said this, that. As a person, you go nuts. This is considered Hashem's protection. Yaakov didn't go. He comes to the table and gives it the same. With you. You believe? I don't know. Right now, maybe bad. But Hashem, whatever he's doing is the best. He didn't have any questions in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A lot of times people have questions. They have questions in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A question people ask, it's a big question. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu let the Holocaust happen? How? The question HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now. Questioning the Creator, planned the whole world from beginning to end. You're questioning, you little 30, 40, 50 year old, how many years are you in the world? You understand? You understand more, right? How's it? You get a question. If someone tries to answer why the Holocaust, how could you go that? It's shtuyot. We don't know anything. We could say all kinds of things, we could learn from it. Take out things like, as I told me, reading Avida Miller's book about what we're having before the Holocaust and after, whatever. Fine, you can learn things from what happened. But you can't ask. Still doesn't answer anything, right? Such horrible deaths, for example, and things that we can't even imagine, we can't even talk about. And so if someone in this room was here now and I would speak, I probably won't say anything about the Holocaust because it's scary. I can't judge anyone, can't say anything, but one thing, I know we can't question HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't question. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, it's definitely good. Whether we know it or we don't know it. But one thing we do have to know. That at the time of the test, it's all from this book, I'm just laying it off my head. On the time of the test, no one in the world can know it's good. You don't know it's good. You know it's bad. Someone has some dies in the family. Someone's ill. It's a bad situation. No one tells you it's good. No one says it's good, and you will never know it's good. No one is asking us to know it's good. Because we can't. We're humans. A human, he has a blockage in his brain. He doesn't know it's all good. If he knows it's all good, he's not human anymore, and he's going to die. Because he has nothing to do in this world. There's people send us in this world for the bechira, for the free choice. To know, is it good or not good? To believe, is it good or not? Knowledge is beyond what we can understand. That's what we say. Where knowledge finishes, that's where emunah begins. It's a saying like that. Efo shenigmar ha-sechel, matchila emunah. Yeah? You stop understanding, start believing them. Right? What's the difference between knowing and understanding? And knowing and believing? If someone, I see this cup of water. I don't believe there's a cup of water here in my hand. I know there's a cup of water in my hand. Right? But if someone comes out from outside and tells me, there's a cup of water in the ear, right? That's a good example. If he tells me now I'm drinking water, Yeah, I could. I don't know what you're drinking. What am I drinking? Liquor? I don't know what you're drinking. Vodka? What do you got there? Yeah, Alak. Whatever it is. I don't know what he's drinking. I believe that he's drinking water. I believe. I don't know. There's a difference between believing and knowing. It's very important. Even the biggest tzaddik in Yaakov Avinu, when Eliphaz came and took all this stuff, he didn't know it's good. He didn't know it's good. He knew it's bad. It's a bad situation now. He doesn't have food. He can't buy food. He can't. He's going out of love, and you don't know what's going to be. How he's going to get married? He's running away from this brother, and he's going to that. There's nothing, right? He didn't know it's good. He knew it's bad, and he believed it's good. I don't know.
Isn't it that when you read this book, you know that everything is good, but you don't understand?
Okay, that's what I mean. You know, not as reality, like I know this is here. I know that whatever Hashem does is good. Why this specific thing is good? It looks bad, I don't know. I believe. Hashem knows what he's doing. He's running the show, and he's doing only good with me. Let's see what happened. What would have happened if Yaakov Avinu, 12:30 you told me, right?
Yeah, I was here. I
came 32. I saw you downstairs. If Yaakov Avinu, what would have happened without Eliphaz? Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu does show us the good side after the fact. Sometimes no. Sometimes only after 120, when we'll see why is all the tests. They say when Mashiach comes, they'll tell each one all the things he had to go through, to show him why it was the best thing for him. Why it was the best thing for him. So Yaakov Avinu, let's see what would have happened if Eliphaz, if the story was different. Eliphaz wouldn't have come, he'd run away, he was fleeing to Haran, come with all the money, right away, marry Rachel, and come back. First of all, who would have killed him? Immediately, Esav, because the whole reason she sent him away, Rivka, says explicitly in the Pesukim, "Atshov chamat achicha," until the rage of your brother will
diminish. Settle
down, diminish, be calm a little bit, then return. If he would have gone and come back, would have been killed.
But then he also spent 14 years in Yeshiva.
It's not a lot of years. It's according to one measure. Also, the Midrashim don't have to agree with each other. It could be 10 different Midrashim on the same pasuk. And they contradict each other completely. And Josh, you don't have to be together.
Just not really with the
14
years?
Hmm?
Was it there?
It
wasn't.
It's not really. No, I didn't say that's true. I'm just saying, two Midrashim could contradict each other.
Because nobody was ever there. He got over Kodesh and something.
Maybe 14 years means he reached spiritual levels 14 years ago. I have no idea. I'm not saying.
You don't understand. He's like, he's enslaved.
He slept on the bench. 14 years, that's pretty hard.
Nobody can do that.
Anyways, he would have come back, probably would have been killed. And let's say he wanted to be killed because he's been for 14 years and he calmed down. How many children would he have? Probably none. Probably none. Maybe one. Probably none. Because the only reason Rachel was able to, according to it says in the Midrash, that Rachel was supposed to be barren, all the Shvatim should have come from Leah and the other ones.
They
should have come from Leah
only?
Leah and the other three. Rachel. Not from Rachel. And she had two because of Leah. Okay? She would have had any children. Yeah, look. So you see, at the end, you see, even though he was stuck there, he's alive, he married four women. That's a bracha, maybe. Somebody is a bracha, not a bracha. Well, Yaakov did well. I'll tell you why he did well. He was in the field all day with the sheep. He was doing well. If you're in the field all day, you can marry also four women.
He came to Laban poor.
Came to?
And he came to Laban. He came with no money.
No money at all, and he came out rich.
So when he do the other way, he come rich, but come back poor, because he have killed all the money to
heaven. Another point, very good. I didn't think of that on. Another point, he came with a. If he would have come with a lot of money, he would have come with a wife and no money. He came with no money, and he left with four wives. 11 children and a lot of money and flock of sheep. And his brother didn't kill him. You see, at the end he saw that everything was good. Hashem showed him. Not always Hashem shows us why it's good, everything. But the emunah has to be very strong. So people come to Rav Arush, and he says, the CD I heard, and he says, they said, I said an hour thank you and nothing helped. Da, 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 da. He said, he didn't say thank you because you believe it's good. You say thank you because you want the solution. Because when Rav Arush says, he say half an hour thank you, it will give you the Yeshua. Is when someone goes deep, not just says thank you Hashem, thank you for this, thank you Hashem, no. When it goes deep into what it means. Why am I thanking Hashem for this horrible thing? Why? Because I believe in you, Hashem. I know that this is all good. I don't know what are you doing, but I know that what you do with me is the best. The best is nothing better that could be. That's why I'm thanking you. Do I understand? I don't understand. It looks to me horrible. Seems according to my eyes. Doesn't like it's not right what you're doing. But I believe that what you do is right. That's why I'm thanking you, because that you're doing what you're doing, what you're saying is right, not what I think is right. Because what I think is right is probably wrong. What you think is right is the right thing. Even though it looks in my eyes is wrong, it's very deep. It's very deep, and it's very sensitive. A lot of people have serious issues and serious problems, and you can't come over to someone who you know is in a serious situation and say, "What do you mean? It's good! Thank Hashem! You're gonna kill him. You're gonna become a kaifel. Yeah, so either you're nuts or you go against Hashem.
You start doing it without
feeling,
without
sight.
When you start to say that,
yeah, also.
It's also
comes back.
It's going to something to show that it comes to missions.
Yeah. And also, but the point is to reach the sechel behind the thank you. To reach the sechel behind the thank you. To reach this intelligence behind the thank you. That's some we're thanking. That's some. I know we don't see reality. We see reality really well. Yeah? Someone has a bad situation. It's bad. He's sick, has someone sick, or all kinds of issues, whatever, financial issues, marriage issues, children issues, who knows what. Right? We have to see. Stam spiritually he's trying to grow and Hashem's blocking him. Hashem's blocking him for some reason. He's trying to grow. And I say thank you for that. So it's very hard to say thank you, but if someone, as we learned yesterday in the Maran here, I give a shir in the afternoon, that when someone, when thought creates heat, movement creates heat, thought creates heat. Thought is also movement, it's movement of stuff in the head. Okay? The proof is also that when someone sleeps, it's cold. And if he has a bad dream, or a dream that he's doing something active, even though he's not moving, he'll be waking up sweating. Why is that? He created heat through the thinking. Also, probably you can prove it also by through science. Okay? So, if we use our heads to think positive, we create positive energy in ourselves, in our hearts. Right? If we think negatively, we create negative. The Bava Chirevi says this also, that if someone thinks well in Yiddish, right?
Not good, be designed.
Okay.
Exactly.
Think good and you'll be good. It's true. It's very deep. It's not just a phrase or a sticker. Think good, it'll be good. It's creating energy, Kipshuto, because you're creating reality. What does that mean? It could be the situation will be the way it has to be. It's a horrible situation, but you are going to be good in the situation. You're going to go through. If someone has to be sick, and everybody wants to be sick, that's his design in this world, he's going to be this illness that he has to be. He's going to have it. The question is, how is he going to be in the situation? Is he going to be a shmate, and a koifel, and upset, and sad, or is he going to be glowing, happy, in that situation? So, truth is that we have to build kelim, build vessels, and have tools when we have a good situation, when everything's going well. And then if Kosh Baruch wants to give us a more difficult situation, we'll have the ability to use all the tools that we have in that situation. Not that we really, when you have a hard situation, you won't have the real tool, you won't have the tools that you had when you had a good situation. Rabbi Nachman writes in the Kutei Maran that someone he builds his emunah, that's the main tool, tefillah and emunah, and then afterwards he has a difficult situation, right, either down or whatever, he has a reshimo, a mark, a remains in his heart, in his brain, of the high place where he was, and that's what's going to lift him up, that's what's going to pick him up, that's what's going to pick someone up. That's why we all need to work on this, on the thank you part. Not to question HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever. Never, ever question HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Ever he does, it's for sure. Why? We come in the middle of the movie, as Allah writes in Gan Emunah. We're in the middle of the movie. We don't know what happened to us in previous lifetime. What's going to happen to us? With the whole world, the way it moves, the way things are going. We don't know anything. We just know we have to serve Hashem. We know we have the Emunah, we have the Tefillah, we have the Gvudadut, we have Torah. Yeah, that's what we have in our lives, right? And whatever situation HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in, and there He wants us to grow, and there He wants us to work. And only there a person will grow. That's also another point that a person has to remember when he is thinking Hashem. To remember that without this specific situation HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, I would not grow. I would not reach my tikkun in the world. If this is my situation, right? This is the only way I will get close to Hashem. Because what's good? You have to understand what's good. Thank you, Hashem, this is the best thing. What does that mean? What's good? So David HaMelech teaches us. David Shlomo HaMelech teaches us. V'ani kirvat Elokim li tov. And I had a little chiddush on that also. V'ani kirvat Elokim li tov. And I, okay, ani, kirvat Elokim, the closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good for me. What's good? Closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that I have a good life, what the world thinks, if I have a lot of money, if I have whatever situation that I think is the best for me, right? I think right now I need to be married. I think so. That will be the best situation for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now thinks otherwise, right? And that is the best situation, really. Okay? So, and HaKadosh and Apostle, closest to Hashem is good. Which word is used for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that word? In that pasuk, Elokim. Elokim is Din. The closest to Hashem is only when you have a hard situation. That's when you reach the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you have difficult situations, and everyone knows this, and it's difficult situations, and through the difficult situation he grows, then he reaches the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you have a relaxed situation, it's much harder to grow. You have to work a lot harder to grow. But when they already put you in a hard situation, you have no choice and you work. Or you fall. And everyone with yeshiva, Zal Hashem, no, obviously. You should have the school, Zal Hashem, to take the opportunities, like we said about yesterday about Rav Shmuel Shapira. We learned yesterday about Rav Shmuel Shapira, who's a big tzaddik in Breslev, he lived 25 years ago, almost 26. And he says in the book, they said, in Rav Shmuel Shapira, he says there, it was all just going up and up. The whole way was just going up and up. And then he has another one. Not that he didn't have ups and downs. Of course he had ups and downs. But he never saw them as downs. He used all the downs to grow. And that's what we have to do. To use all of our downs to grow. Because we believe that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this situation, it's the best thing for me. And only through this I'll be able to have blessed us all, Hashem, and all Yisrael. We should marry it to grow and grow from every situation that the Bible puts in.
Yeah.